is Mae Brussel, tape number 385, April 20th, 1979, and it's side two of the tape. Now, to go back more to Colonial Dignitad, Aftermath, a book by Ladislaw Fargo. I've used references from that book before on the escape of Martin Bormann from Nazi Germany by way of the Vatican. His passport written with the help of the Grand Mufti. You have those tapes. In the book, Aftermath, on page 466, it describes how Martin Bormann, when he finally gets over to South America, lived in Chile a great deal of the time. And this page says that Martin Bormann, the Nazi war criminal, moved to Chile and stayed at Colonia Dignitad. This was the property, the ranch or farm, that housed Nazis after World War II. Colonial Dignitad was a center of Das Reich, an organization of Nazis in Chile, made up of the Nazis, many of the Nazis from World War II. Das Reich made it possible as an organization for a man named Walter Rauff, R-A-U-F-F, to live in Chile. He was a German citizen who invented the death trucks for concentration camps, known to have killed at least 100,000 Jews, and he was allowed to remain in Chile, and he was one of the people that associated down there with Martin Bormann. For those of you who don't know who Martin Bormann is, I'm always surprised at some who don't, but if this is the first tape you get with his name on it, he's the man who directed the Jewish extermination program in Germany and was given passports by the Vatican to leave after the war. He wasn't tried as a war criminal. And in the 60s, he lived in Colonial Dignitad. This was that private agricultural center that was to become a youth cult front later for torture and experimentation, but the front was the orphanage. Now, when he was in Colonial Dignitad in the 1960s, in the early 60s, that's the time that Jim Jones was in Brazil with the Central Intelligence Agency, and Dr. Mengele's, the famous surgical experimenter on various persons, went down to South America to continue his experiments. I understand he's still doing them on the Indians down in Paraguay, that he is continuing his Nazi experimentations there. But Jim Jones went from Indiana down to Brazil and was with the Central Intelligence Agency making trips out of Brazil, traveling around while he was stationed in Brazil, in 62 to 63, and when he returned on his way home, he stopped at Matthews Ridge, which was later, or even then, a CIA center, and he stopped there in 63, and then later Matthews Ridge was just 30 miles from the property that Jones rented. But he saw the land in 63 and returned with $100,000 to begin his own camp, and he took that $100,000 that he brought home and began his own care center up in Mendocino in Redwood Valley in California. So that the same years that Martin Bormann was at Colonial Dignitad, Jim Jones was in Brazil. And the parallels between Jonestown and Colonial Dignitad are, just in this one article, short article, so many. And the common denominator here of the CIA and Kissinger, Brzezinski, and the government interfering with these land agricultural centers is overwhelmingly sinister. And the reason it was so interesting for me to read the article, and then just as a footnote, the author brings in the question of Colonial Dignitad and Aftermath and Martin Bormann living there. He only brought that in as a footnote and not beginning the article with it. Astounded me, because as those of you who have the past tapes, and if you don't have them, you can get tape number 379, March the 9th, I did a review of a book called Treason for My Daily Bread by Michael Lebedev. And the allegations in this book were that Martin Bormann, Hitler's top director, escaped to Paraguay after World War II. Now, in this book, it tells how he hired a man who was to work with the assassin and escort him from New Orleans to Dealey Plaza, where the man would do the fatal headshot that blew off John Kennedy's brains over behind the fence. And the allegations of the book that this trained assassin, who went by the code name Zed, was hired by Martin Bormann. Now, that would make sense if Martin Bormann was directing trained assassins or programming assassins to erase their memory, because I also made a tape in August of 77 that there was a place in Guyana called Jonestown where Jim Jones could be running this school for assassins and experimenting on their brains to erase their memory, that it could be a continuation of the Nazi school in Mexico, in Oaxaca, Mexico. The cover of that place was broken in 1970 when the Torbett document came out. And the point being that if Bormann is at a place called Colonial Dignidad, which becomes an experimental agricultural farm with an orphanage Christian cover, but is a place for interrogation and torture and body experimentation, it's very interesting that this same Bormann operation that is going on in Chile has so many parallels of persons and relationships to the Jonestown Nazi operation that has been compared to a fascist Nazi concentration camp. The question being, how many of these agricultural centers under religious church fronts are doing experimentation? See, I believe that that body count in Jonestown of 403 was accurate the first time around, but as long as they were closing in, they brought in a few, possibly from Venezuela, where the boats and doctors and nurses went and dumped them. They decayed at a different rate. The children's bodies weren't as decayed as the grown-ups, and therefore should have been identified and weren't. And the difference between the 403 and the 913 figure was an interesting difference that never has been explained. So that Treason for My Daily Bread, that book, is available now. Incidentally, research in Aptos has the book. Tom Davis got books from England, and you can order them from him. Originally, we just had two copies, but they are available if you want to buy the book, Treason for My Daily Bread. And I'll give you the address, and you can order them. They are available now. But the same Martin Bormann that was living on Colonial Dignidad, that is charged with hiring the assassins that killed John Kennedy, is a connecting link to Nazi experimentation in Chile at the present time, using that same property. And also, the Jonestown area was a place which, after the death, was revealed as a school for assassins, and suggested that trained assassins under mind control are now out at large, out in the world. And I think that these parallels can't be ignored and should be going into much, much further. Now, the physical barriers were perfect for the Jonestown setup, and the physical barriers for the Colonia Dignidad were perfect. They were totally isolated. In one case, the Germans only spoke the German language, and they didn't learn Spanish, and they didn't learn any of the history. They wore the clothing of the 1940s, and they kept it a purely physical German environment. Which reminds me that when the shipping fleets were built up of Aristotle Onassis and Hallmar Schacht, the head of the Reichsbank who funded Adolf Hitler got into funding the Japanese and German fleets of Aristotle Onassis. It turned out that all of Onassis's fleets only had German crews. They only spoke the German language, not the Greek language, but the German language, and they were all German crews, and they went down to Argentine and Antarctica and South America back and forth. That's where the Onassis fortune was built up. They had German crews, and the children and the people on the ground of Colonial Dignidad only spoke German and were only allowed to speak German. The first reports of Colonial Dignidad being a secret torture detention center came out in February 4th, 1976, before the United Nations, the Economic and Social Council. And they told of its location near a town called Parallel, P-A-R-R-A-L-L, in the Andean Mountains. And a Colonel Espinosa, the chief of SENDEP, that's the Information Center for Political Prisoners, stopped in Parallel and made visits there. And there were 119 prisoners who disappeared, and many had been recognized as being in Colonial Dignidad. The DINA, that's the Direction de Investigación Nacional, that's the secret police of the Chilean government that was put in by the Central Intelligence Agency, holds prisoners there and has used detainees in there for the secret detention system. A second report came out about Colonial Dignidad in 1976, October the 8th, 1976, and I can see why the UN report of this was suppressed, because Jonestown was started in 73 and was a continuation or a sister substation, and as I say, goodness knows how many there are, but Jonestown got started in 73 where they could train assassins and experiment on people and their minds and body, and if there were just 119 that disappeared, or admittedly, from Dina and the Colonial Dignidad in Chile, we have a death record of 913 down in Jonestown, including UNIS representative Leo Ryan. Now, this October 8th report described this as a Dina center. It was known as Colonial Dignidad. There's a torture center there. This was the report of the United Nations, that it was a specially equipped place underground, small, completely soundproof, hermetically sealed cells for prisoners. They took leather hoods over their heads. This was in the UN report. They stuck their faces, the hoods were stuck with chemicals, and as I said before, they were torture cells where they did interrogation. There were closed-circuit radio systems. People were kept naked and tied to the beds, and electric shocks were applied. This was for men and women. There was another exposure in March 1977, a third exposure of Colonial Dignidad that exposed Dina and the torture center. And this went to West Germany, and it was done by Amnesty International. This was the third exposure, and it was written up in Frankfurt, Germany, and it came from Chile. It was a 60-page booklet saying that the isolation, which is one of the comparisons to Jonestown, and the economic independence, another comparison to Jonestown, physically isolated and then not dependent on the economy, where people left town to go to work, where you could see them go back and forth. You couldn't see these zombies at Jonestown, and they didn't interrelate with anyone around them. This article is the 60-page article to Amnesty International said that the social separation, the isolation of this community and its economic independence made it a good place for a torture camp, that it was a component of the secret detention system. And when the coup took place in 1973, that's when the United States government overthrew the Chilean government and put the Nazis into power. Since that time, over 2,000 Chileans had disappeared. That's from 1973 to 1976. And 1973 is when the property was rented in Jonestown in Guyana for Jim Jones, and that was the year of his arrest in Los Angeles, and that was the time when the Attorney General, Evel Younger, and the U.S. attorneys and the city attorney in Los Angeles suppressed the arrest records because he was meant to go down to Jonestown, and some simple lewd arrest thing was not going to interfere with the operation. The same year that the coup took place, that the military junta could use the detention center where Martin Bormann had lived with top Nazis. That was the year that the Jonestown was set up in 73. The report that came out from Amnesty International in 76 showed how the clandestine operation worked, the apparatus worked, and the courts in Germany suppressed the Amnesty International reports. The people from the Colonial Dignidad went to court in West Germany and used the courts to suppress it. Now, the San Francisco Chronicle suppressed stories of Jonestown. The San Francisco Examiner suppressed them. The National Enquirer was suppressing articles. Mark Lane was given $10,000 to praise Jonestown. Charles Geary was praising it. They used Associated Press, United Press to praise it. They used KGO radio station. And Lane was given $10,000 to praise the agricultural farm at a time when medical experimentations and brainwashing were going on down in Jonestown. It wasn't the agricultural farm they said it was. That's another parallel, that the United States press, like the German press, were in collusion to suppress, taking away individual rights. And certainly, if there's all these unidentified children, there's many unidentified there, and as I say, 199 children unidentified. How did they get there? Whose children were they? And why were the federal courts not protecting at least the children? This wasn't an adult decision here, and it wasn't an adult decision to take these people. They were orphans, and take them down to Chile as a front for a torture department. Funding for this operation in Chile and this colonial dignitat came from West Germany, and much of the funding for Jonestown, another parallel, came from West Germany. Mrs. Layton came from Germany, the woman whose husband was in charge of the chemical biological warfare at Proving Grounds at Utah, who's been in the military intelligence chemical warfare division of his adult career and is in agricultural branch of it now, which is the agricultural front for these extermination camps. It's his son that is in jail down in Georgetown for charges of the death at the airport when Leo Ryan was killed. But Mrs. Layton had given admittedly several hundred thousand to Jim Jones, but she had a father, still has a father in Germany, that was sending money. And also there was another fund coming from Germany to Jonestown. So Germany was funding this organization down in Chile, and Germany was funding a share of Jonestown, and this part has never yet come to the front. Amnesty International's report in 1976 gave at least four examples that they had where people lived and survived and left the detention center. One was in January 30th, 1975, where 30 miners were held there. May 75, where German people arrested citizens near a town called Talca and detained them in colonial dignitat. These were German-speaking people, not Chilean police, Spanish people, but German-speaking. A third group was held several weeks in Colonia, and in May 76, 38, were arrested and taken to Colonia. Amnesty International had specific cases. And then they had three who were tortured who got away finally and out of the country, who were at this orphanage. It's an agricultural center, an orphanage, which has underground tortures, which housed the Nazis, that belongs to the Nazi government in Chile. They took the testimony of three who got away, and in the courts, when Amnesty International was sued by these people to suppress this information, and you remember how Charles Gary, the attorney, was representing People's Temple to stop lawsuits, stop getting the information out to the public, and Mark Lane was going to take on the protection of the People's Temple because they were being suppressed by the federal government, his usual shtick. People got out of Jonestown and told the State Department, told the congressman what was going on. People got out of Chile and testified about their direct experience, but the courts in West Germany and the news media suppressed the details and wouldn't let the story be told about these people who were tortured. One was an Adriana Borque, B-O-R-Q-U-E-Z. She was arrested in 1975. 10 police took her away. Her eyes were taped. Her hands were tied. She was hooded. She was taken in an ambulance with other prisoners. That's another thing. They have their own hospital at this agricultural center, like Jonestown had its own hospital, and they had their own ambulance system. And the Guyanese police said that they had airplanes that took the sick out of the country and didn't tell where they ever went. They were flown out of Jonestown. They had their own private river there and their own airport. Both of these compounds had. This woman was taken by an ambulance with other prisoners and then was led down this ramp, which was this underground detention center that was part of the agricultural orphanage home, and put on a cement floor. And first they give them verbal interrogations, and then they tie them to the bed frames. And, of course, electric shocks on all of her body, breast, vagina, tortured, screaming. She said that silence came from the underground buildings and wet towels put over their mouths, and you lose control of your bowels and they fall on the floor. And she was kicked on and stomped and insulted, and they asked her about the solidarity of local citizens, I guess, trying to organize against the Nazi government that's been put in by the CIA. And then she was forced to witness another woman being tortured, and she recognized the woman and asked her to tell the bishop, if she got out, whoever got out first, what was going on. And they tried to tell her, you're a communist, the bishop is a communist, the cardinal is a communist. Anybody who opposes the Chilean government that was put in by Henry Kissinger and Nazis from South Africa and West Germany is accused of being a communist. Another person, Eric Zott, got to Austria. He's one of the few that escaped from this detention. He was arrested separately January 1975. Incidentally, two people were arrested on the same date that have affidavits with Amnesty International, and the date was April 23rd, 1975. So this is some kind of an anniversary, being April the 20th. It's an anniversary of their arrest, and of course it's the week of Hitler's birthday. Maybe that's why they were rounding these people up. And Erich Zott is now in Austria. He was a friend of Louis Peebles. They were acquainted, but they were arrested separately. They were held at detention centers and then taken to Colonial Dignitas, where they were tortured, and their stories separately were almost identical in the way they were taken away, in the way they were tortured, in the way they were chained, and the helmets on their head, and the electric shock. And Zott and Peebles described a wooden box they were put in, just the size of your body. Jim Jones had a wooden box under the ground where they kept people from one day up to a week. And in this box, they pounded it with sticks until the sound magnified. And they used these underground boxes, and they used the same kind of torture boxes in Colonial Dignitas. And they went on to say that they believed that Mr. Zott and Louis Peebles said that they believed that the purpose of the torture at Colonial Dignitas was to experiment and to see how much sophisticated torture you can use to make it a work of art that came from the Nazi concentration camps. It wasn't just to get information, but experiments on tortures. And they were the ones who talked about dogs trained to commit sexual aggressions and dogs used to destroy the sexual organs of both sexes. And they tested there the limits of resistance to methods of torture, to beatings, electricity, hanging, ways to drive detainees insane through drugs. Another comparison to Jonestown, because when people wanted to leave, as I said before, the Chilean agricultural paradise, the commune for the little children, they were kept with drug lobotomies. They came out as if they had a lobotomy, and some were beaten. In the same way here, the people were experimented with drugs to see if they could get them insane, and they had prolonged isolation in subhuman conditions. The orphans and others on the agricultural compound in Chile couldn't hear anything. They were isolated. And the orphanage, the Christian orphanage, is simply a front, an agricultural commune that is used for other purposes that the West German government will not expose, just as Jonestown was used for other purposes, which the United States federal government will not expose. You see, the cavalier way, or the way they pass off, the FBI says, we won't investigate the death of John Paisley, a United States citizen, an agent of the FBI, an agent of the CIA, an agent of the Defense Intelligence Agency, most of his adult life since 1947. A body has a bullet in the head and is sunk with weight in a bay when he goes sailing. And the government says, well, we don't know if it was communist, and we don't know if he was a traitor, or if the KGB killed him, or if he went to the KGB, or if it was Paisley, or if it was a murder or a suicide. The FBI just said, we're not going to probe anymore. We cut the death probe. It's that casual, and that's the casual way that Jonestown is going to be done. It's the casual way that John Kennedy assassination was done, the Robert Kennedy assassination, the Martin Luther King, and now we get to the heavy part of the genocide or the deportation or the extermination. And the real bottom line of this is, how long are people going to sit back and let the press and the United Nations cover up those specific Nazis who are named, whose locations are named, who are funded by the federal government? All you have to do is open up the book, Reinhard Gehlen, Spy of the Century. You don't open the book. On the back cover, Chief of Hitler's Intelligence for the Eastern Division, given $200 million United States tax dollars by Alan Dulles. Now the harvest is coming in, and we have to accept responsibility for seeing that book, I think, came out in 71, and it's been common knowledge, at least by the book reviewers and the book clubs, that the Nazis have been funded, at least in 71, if you didn't want to find out earlier. But the torturing has been going on, and these gentlemen refer to it as personalized torture, that they bring them in and talk softly and deliberately, and they have a data or a computer on the people, and they know their personality and their traits, and they talk to them very quietly. It begins very slowly, and then it gets debilitating and exhausting, and then they can get them to say anything they want. The effect, the total effect described by Adriana Borges of the torture, which is a programmed event with long sessions, and then the box and the noises, the isolation, the electrodes, and also there were electrodes at Jonestown, another comparison, and drugs. She said the effect is desperation, of complete repression, of the loss of personal dignity, of emotions, of thoughts and ideas, of ideology, of religion, of habits, of moral and social concepts. Now, that was the end effect of Jim Jones on everyone who stayed. The people that left, a few blacks, but mostly the white entourage of the Central Intelligence Agency, which I'm convinced set up Jonestown, had the same effect on those people and tested either mass suicide. It worked. They were willing to kill their children and die. Even somebody like Mrs. Amos held up her children's hair, you know, so the man could cut the throats, and then she died. That Mrs. Harris, that came from Palo Alto, I met her husband, I told you before, Mrs. Bouquet, whose son died at Jonestown, who at the time, when she wanted to see him, she was in Georgetown and wanted to go, and he wouldn't see her. He said, the only way I'll see her is through the scope of a rifle. Those people are not angry at the federal government for losing a daughter, for losing a son or an ex-wife. I never met such hostility. It was in the office of Leo Ryan in Palo Alto. Ryan had died. Holsinger was in the office. His son, rather, was in the office. They treated me, these people, as if I were an enemy exposing them. And what they are, this entourage, are a group of people identical to the people that set up this group, Colonial Dignitat, in Germany. They're a group of people that, if the place were broken open, such as the Jonestown thing came down, would all split, and they would resent your talking to them. The people that ran Colonial Dignitat or set it up, the people who cooked it, who milked the cows, who farm, who wash the clothes for the children at the orphanage, who teach them, who teach the school there, would split. They would never tell you about Martin Bormann or the war criminals or the torture. They would split, and anybody who investigated Colonial Dignitat would be an enemy. And that's the way it is in Jonestown. The people that live in Berkeley, the people from Stanford, Tim Stone, Mr. Harris, Mrs. Bouquet, the whole entourage, you are an enemy if you talk about what went on in Jonestown. They're not angry. They're part of the federal system. And this Adriana Borges described the desperation, the loss of your moral and social concepts, everything that makes a human being was trampled on by bestiality. She went on to say, for Amnesty International, fascism doesn't respect the personality of each of us. It is a hellish steamroller. This is the voice of a woman who was tortured there, one of the few who got out alive, but when she got out alive, her information was suppressed by the press in Germany, the press in the United States, and only in this article of Counterspy that came out has this information been available for the public, and that's why I'm putting it on these tapes. The Federal Republic of Germany and the United Nations abstained from voting on this human rights problem when it was brought before them. The spokesperson for the German Ministry of Foreign Affairs said that false information was given out. The United Nations, the federal government in Germany, have protected what they called an agricultural farm. And it's an orphanage and agricultural farm, and have not addressed themselves to what Colonial Dignitat is. Erich Streitling, the ambassador of Germany, West Germany to Chile, who was the ambassador of West Germany to South Africa, said, in quotes, Colonial Dignitat is a well-organized, efficient organization. And Adolfo Yankelwick, I don't pronounce it right, but I'll give you the spelling, former press attaché to the Chilean missions, the United Nations, says Colonial was a nice place. People there do a good job. He was interviewed in the summer of 77, and this is similar to Mark Lane, Charles Geary, KGO Radio, Chronicle, ignoring the question, the San Francisco Examiner, and Michael Prokes, the press agent who recently did a DeMorenschild suicide job that we have to get back to later. Colonia was a nice place. Jonestown was a nice place. They did a good job. They did a good job. It was well organized and efficient, and the spokesman here said it's well organized and efficient, and the connections to the fascism are still suppressed. Next week on tape number 386, we will run down, if I can put in it 1 hour, 67 parallels of Jonestown to colonial dignitas. One in Guyana, put in by the head of government, Mr. Burnham, put in by the Central Intelligence Agency. The other, down in Chile, the Chilean government and Mr. Pinochet and the DINA, put in by the Central Intelligence Agency. Next week, we'll do a parallel, 67 parallels, in a 7-page article of Jonestown to colonial dignitas. And in the meantime, if you can, have a good week.